So, you guys read any books?
I can't read.
But if you could, what books would you like to read?
All the Garfields.
Ooh. Ooh,
every single Garfield.
Didn't see that coming.
Solid. The comic, like, what are they called? Omnibus. The Omnibus of Garfields.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's just really fun watching a man suffer from serious depression.
That's like Garfield minus Garfield is really entertaining.
Garfield stands Garfield. That's the
yeah.
one.
I read a lot of Stephen King books. Probably my go-to. I am reading Stormlight Archive by Brendan Sanderson right now. Can't recommend it enough. Mm. It's a lot to read, though.
I just got that on Audible. I'm going to rereading it next.
I can never DM a game for you again because I'm going to steal about 90% of it from that.
Oh, okay.
Well, one actually recent book that I've been reading is actually called The Black Tongue Thief by Christopher Bullman.
Okay.
So basically, it's an interesting kind of an idea on the. So, like, I'm almost on the book, at least at this point, so I'm trying to avoid spoilers and stuff.
Okay.
But it follows this thief that, like, he's from this country that, like, where most of them, like, they have black tongues. It's just genetic, kind of like that. So it's kind of
okay.
like you get kind of a. You immediately know who's from where.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it's all about him kind of working through, like, this quest because namely his guild puts him in there, and this shows the Thieves Guild as like one of those things of you should never just join it, like, because they kind of do the whole thing of, hey, you can learn these skills and all this shit, and then it's like, oh, you gotta pay back our debt. If you don't pay back our debt, things can get pretty bad for you.
Classic.
You like your kneecaps?
A lot of them are like cutting like fingers off and stuff like that in order to do that, and it just turns into I'm trying to remember what the exact thing is, but like you get tattooed on the face so everyone knows that like you're with the guild.
Oh, that's brutal.
And
I like
treat
that.
You like shit, like just for the hell of it.
At least you get a free tattoo out of it.
But
yeah
and they actually go into what I like is they go into the tattoo, like, magical arts. Like, that there's a lot of different tattoos that kind of you can use, like, for special occasions. Like, for instance, like, for Featherfall, essentially. Like, you can activate it and stuff like that. I mean, it's intense magic.
It's
one of those things of you just don't go down the street and get one. And, like, they do involve the whole idea of, like, wearing certain metals, like, inhibits magic, like iron and stuff. So, like, certain magicians, like, wear copper because for some reason it, like, works better. Like, it doesn't cover it as much. It's an interesting little story.
Well, I am adding that to my Audible right now. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, plus the...
Appreciate it.
I was about to say the narrator is pretty damn solid.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Man, I just... I like books, and I would love to read more, but I just don't have any time to. Because
you got one of them families.
Yeah. Having kids makes it real hard to read.
Yeah.
Prior to having kids, I did read all of A Song of Ice and Fire. That was awesome.
Hmm.
I think because I bought them for work, I listened to every single one of those books multiple times.
Yeah, I hate because like my job is like I can listen to some things when I work. Like I can listen to music. I sometimes can listen to podcasts if it's not like too intensive. Like I can't really listen to actual plays because I miss everything.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
So, like, I can't really listen while I work, and I don't really commute anymore, and that was my primary, like, time where I would either do podcasts or, like, audiobooks or, like, NPR. So now I just feel, like, out of touch, and I don't consume any, like, worthwhile media. I just...
You could do one of those things where people listen to books while they fall asleep.
I fall asleep in, like, 2 seconds.
I was about to say, then you fall asleep, and you're like, why am I 8 hours into this book? I don't know what's going on.
I think Nick Offerman actually did something like that, where he would, like, read a story, and it was supposed to be, like, a nighttime, like, lull you into sleep thing, so.
Mm-hmm. So that would never work for me because I'd never want to stop reading. Because it's like, gets to a good part, and it's like, well, I gotta get to the end of it. Next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the problem.
Once I get into a book, I really enjoy it. When our trip down to Florida and back, Rebecca and I listened to Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, which is like a book about like two friends and a bunch of like love stories, but they're also game developers, and they like start a video game company. And it's really, really cool. And it was a really sweet, really awesome story. And it made me want to listen and read more books. I've yet to start a new one since Florida.
Cool. I'm gonna add that to my Audible as well, thank you.
Try Garfield.
Is there Garfield the audiobook?
I'm gonna type Garfield into it right now, hold on.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of who voiced Garfield, like, because there was the cartoon and like in the movies. Of
Garfield. John, yeah,
Garfield
that, yeah, that
and
voice.
Friends, the old cartoon was actually hilarious.
Oh yeah, my so gosh.
But I'm just trying to think who the guy who voiced Garfield, like that deadpan, like
that voice that we all hear in our head right now. That exact
yes,
voice. Yeah, the voice.
By the way, I put in Garfield into Audible and it came up with President Garfield by C.W. Goodyear.
Well, okay,
that's
so
it.
I'm gonna listen to that and I'm gonna be really confused.
Wait,
Garfield was a president?
He's my 19th favorite president.
You have an extensive list.
I mean, I have them all ranked.
Oh, okay.
All ranked. It's like batting averages.
Every 4 years or so, Kelly has to rejigger his list.
Yeah, he's got a whiteboard and they're all magnets, so he just like rearranges them.
We're gonna do a podcast. We're gonna get really heated. Like Taft was A tier. How dare you,
William Henry
Harrison?
You can
also organize them.
He was the shortest one, top tier.
You can also organize them as which president would be good in a fantasy football team? I don't know. Lincoln, I think,
QB.
Has good
odds. Tim.
So I've been reading this book for a couple of years now. It's a dense read, and ironically, it doesn't apply to me anymore. But it's called "The Missing Readme: A Guide for the New Software Engineer." It's a bunch of stuff that I wish I'd known when I started my current job. So, hey, if you're an aspiring software developer, read that book. Like, it would have saved me many, many, many hours of heartache. So, it's kind of more like a reference book for me more than a read.
Oh, yeah, there's something to go back to, you know, kind of refresh those things. Yeah.
I've copied the diagrams from the book and used it for illustrative purposes for work emails.
Dude,
that's
look at that.
Wild.
That's a good book.
Yeah,
that's a really good book.
It is an excellent book.
Man. This is all to say that I got back into listening to audiobooks because I caught up with every podcast I care to listen to. I had like a big backlog.
Stop bragging.
And I started listening to on Audible. I Am Legend.
Oh yeah, classic.
That's a good one.
It's a really good one. It's a really good read. The entire book is interesting, definitely different than the movie, which I expected, obviously. But like, it's different from the movie in a really good way, to where like they feel like two separate things, but you know, obviously in the same vein. But that whole book is just about that guy just going deeper into insanity.
Just like Garfield.
All
I am
legends.
I am Garfield.
All books lead to Garfield. But yeah, no, so I got that, and I also have after I finish that, I'm going to start up the Stormlight Archives.
Can't recommend it enough.
So, you were by, like, the 10th person to say that. I had a friend who I worked with, that he was just like, I was listening to this, and man, he started, and then he'd just be like, you just gotta listen to it. Like, it was just one of those things where he didn't want to spoil anything, but he also had to talk to somebody about it. So I'm very excited to read that, but I want to get through the craziness of I Am Legend before I go into something cool and fulfilling. Well, you know, there's one book that I really love reading, and it's this Adventure Path, book 3.
Hey!
So let's get back into writing your stories.
Mm.
We continue back with the regular group. Who wants to tell me what happened right before? We
ended Kezzerdun fell down.
Yeah,
okay, Kezzerdun fell down. Yep. Yeah, this Scarlet Triad thug was not happy about you up on the top deck casting spells into the cargo hold.
That's right.
And so
you made it, like, as far as everyone else, you made it to this first floor way faster than anyone else.
That's true. Look on the bright side.
Well, without your consent, you made it to the cargo hold.
I like just shocking people from up there. It was fun.
that's specifically why he walked up. He was like, this fucking sorcerer, goddammit.
Well, now you can shock people down here.
Yeah.
So that was the at the end of his turn. So he is now finished. So good thing is he can't do a plunging attack on you, Kel.
Good thing. Am I prone?
You are prone, that's right.
Oh man.
So let's just get right back into it. So the Scarlet Triad thug that is up next, this is the one that is in between Grimshaw and Benson. He is flanked by both of them.
The paladin sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. So
is there a different view? Because right now I'm just seeing the top of the ship.
If you go over to scroll over to
zoom
the right.
Out.
Yeah. Oh, it's over there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's a big map. Yeah, because
it's 3 inches over.
Right. It's two levels.
Yeah, no, I have it slightly minimized on the screen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I was like, huh.
So it's this Scarlet Triad Thugster, like I said, the one in between Grimshaw and Benson. I want... So he has the opportunity to flank Grimshaw, but he's already... yeah, no, he's going to have to take that because he can't flank Benson. All right, yeah, so he's going to take a 5-foot step. He's going to take a 5-foot step to the north, and now he's flanking Grimshaw with his other friend. And I will say to you guys that these guys are looking pretty messed up. So I'm not saying you got them on the ropes, but they're hurting. So he's going to take a 5-foot step to the north, and he is now flanking with his friend on Grimshaw. So
are they
Grimshaw.
Friends or are they work acquaintances? Let's be honest.
Work. I don't know. Maybe they're really, really horrible friends. You remember these guys were? They beat the slaves in order to make sure that they crowded you guys so they could get their pack attack ability off. Yeah,
that's right.
Yes. Yeah, they're dead. They're all dead.
Pack attack. These are these are somehow as bad as the demon. Like these are just. You just see the demon.
What kind of life do you have to lead for when someone says he's kind of as bad as an actual demon, and everyone's just like,
they're kind of dicks, you know.
So he's going to make two flail strikes on you there, Timbo.
All right.
So this is going to be a against your flat-footed AC, a 30.
Oh man, flat-footed AC, that gets me.
That gets you. Okay. So that is going to be 26 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh my gosh.
Nope, it's going to be 15 or 16 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh my gosh. What the what?
I like damage that. Reduction.
Hey, boy.
Let's go.
Because I'm kind of awesome like that.
Mm-hmm. okay.
Fuck me.
Oh no!
What?
Oh no! Oh, on your rich beat of strike?
Yeah.
Oh man, that was good.
You know I like me some pain.
Of course.
Fling! Oh god, you drop the weapon you use to attack, and it lands 1d6 times 5 feet away from you in a random direction.
Oh my gosh! I was just using the other sword I have.
Okay, all right. So we're not going to worry about it then.
Take the next. Oh no, this is my turn. Sorry.
Yeah, it's not your turn.
All right,
so
my next action will be taking my sword out. No, not my turn.
So it flies off in a random direction and then lands in some of the hay that was lining the bottom of this lining the bottom of the ship. You'll have to search for it really hard because finding a bastard sword in hay is just difficult.
It's just like a needle in the haystack. It's just like a claymore in a haystack. Yeah.
Claymore in a haystack.
Claymore in a field of heather.
So this is going to be a second attack on you there, Grimshaw. That is going to be another 30.
Come on, yeah.
It's going to be 25 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ouch.
I don't like it.
Yeah, these guys chunk.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, if they, I'll tell you, if he was not getting his pack attack off, it would not be nearly as much. But okay.
That's exactly why.
Or yeah, yeah, yeah. Because on both of his pack attacks, he rolled very well. So, so that bonus damage is just coming in hot for you guys. Grimshaw, it is your turn, however.
Okay. So it has been a hot minute. Remind me which ones we have already hit.
So the ones you've already hit are the two here at the top. So the one that just hit you, he's been hit a few times. The one that's just to the north of Benson, that one has been hit really bad, and he's flat-footed because Benson just crit him. Mm. And then the one that's to you, the southwest of you, he's been hit a little bit, but he's still feeling healthy, though.
Okay. Do we remember if they have reactions or not? I don't know if we have run into those yet.
I mean, I was just thinking that if you ain't think you get close to Benson, that way you get that plus +2.
Mm. So, like, AC. just take a step to my right, get that plus +2 AC bonus, yeah, and then hit away. That's a good idea.
Hit the flat-footed dude.
Because the one to the north of Benson is flat-footed because of the crit, you said?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, excellent, yeah. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a 5-foot step to my right. I am right next to Benson, and I'm going to mash the one to the north of Benson since his defense is lowered back to the mausoleum.
I hope nobody sneaks up on me.
That's a natural one.
Oh, damn it. No.
And I have no ER points.
Paladin's really sick. this is bad fall. You fall prone and are slowed one until the end of your next turn.
Oh my gosh.
Oh jeez.
It's terrible.
You stand up.
Wait. Does that mean I'm slowed now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's a kitty emergency.
What the heck?
Oh, so you're out of actions because you were...
Step actions.
Step strike out of actions.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Just so another natural one.
Yeah, another nat one.
Rough.
Jeez.
That's my turn.
Yeah, so I'll say what happens here is that the people that they have in manacles, they're fumbling around you, and so while you're trying to avoid these innocents, you're fumbling over them too.
Tim,
you're just like, what? Get off of me!
Tim, you actually have an action left. You lose actions at the beginning of your turn when you're slowed.
Mm. Right.
Interesting. Right. Okay. All right.
Yep. Okay. Do you take? I don't think I take a penalty from striking from down here. I think I just take an AC penalty since I'm on the ground.
I believe that's correct. But
no, you take a minus two.
Minus two. I was gonna say that. I think it's like a regular minus two. But
I hate this. I'm just gonna stand up.
All right.
That's the worst.
So as you miss, they do have reactions, by the way. So as you missed and you fumbled, one of them is going to use bully push. A creature within the thug's reach misses the thug with a melee strike, and he's going to attempt to shove you. So he's going to make an athletic check against you. This will be at a minus because it is a reaction. 35 still.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's regular success.
Wait, yeah. No. He gets this as a reaction.
Yeah.
He doesn't take a multiple attack penalty.
No. I was just saying that the reaction itself says that there's a penalty to it.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it just says that they attempt to shove the triggering creature at a penalty. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So the Bull Butcher had it too with his grab weapon thing. So,
oh.
I think that's how they balance it, because otherwise doing everything at max on a reaction is kind of ridiculous. Yeah, so anyway, he's going to shove you back 5 feet to be flanking again.
Oh, no.
Literally, I just started my turn exactly where I was.
Yes, but you have less health now.
It's disgusting.
And you have less actions next turn.
It's disgusting.
This is one of those like cartoon moments where like they go to do something cool and they end up just like spinning out and like, oh, I'm right where I started.
And I don't even have Simpsons. AC.
No,
that Simpsons bit where Bart's like, "This is the worst day of my life," and Homer's like, "The worst day so far."
Oh God.
Kezzer, it is your turn. You are prone and on the cargo deck.
Kezzer will stand up. And he will raise the staff of fire and cast a heightened burning hands on the two dudes in the north.
Oh,
heck yeah.
Am I the only one that's going to point out that we're in a wooden ship full of hay?
I don't care. Roll reflex saves. So, yes.
All right.
With civilians on board, by the way.
It extends to here. If you care.
We told them to leave.
All right.
That justifies burning them alive now.
We told them 6 seconds ago. All right.
The one on the left, Kel, it got a 20.
Fail.
Oh. The one on this side gets a... Let me see... 24.
Fail again. Okay, so
they
both take 15 fire damage.
Oh.
Alright. The left takes 15. The one that was flat-footed dies.
Yes!
There he goes. His beard catches on fire, suffocates, and he burns.
I don't feel bad.
He's a smoldering corpse. Thing.
That's the fortunate thing of having a beard, apparently.
Yeah.
Take bonus fire damage.
Alright. Then it is going to be the Scarlet Triad's turn that is all the way on the west. So luckily he's still flanking Grimshaw, so he's just going to go at it. You are humans. Sorry, the humans first are going to... They're all humans. The civilians. The civilians are going to try to do their grapple maneuver on you.
All right.
God.
Let's see. It's going to be not for one, so they
fail. They fall. Fall prone.
Next one, 17.
Crit fail, fall prone.
Crit fail. So if they weren't in the situation they were, it'd be Looney Tunes level funny. all right, in which case, nobody grapples you, but that's okay, because he's still going to get his flanking jam off.
Get the whole jam off?
Flanking jam.
The whole jam.
Come on, flail. Slam!
Whoah! 29 to hit, flat-footed.
Yep.
That's a hit.
Yep.
It's going to be 19 points of bludgeoning damage.
I'm just waiting for Tim to erupt out of anger right now.
I know.
Bullshit!
27 to hit.
That's actually a miss, believe it or not.
Wow, okay, alright.
I know, Jake's been rolling good.
Jake's been rolling very well.
Rolling really well. Okay, in which case he is going to... he's going to try to intimidate you.
Ha, huh. That's funny.
24.
That's a fail.
That's a fail.
It's funny.
Come on, Fetchling, lay down and give yourself over.
Your cudgel mics may strike true, but your intimidation is weak. Milani will have your blood spilt all over this ship soon enough.
As he say the name Milani, he like spits on the ground.
I spit back.
But he makes sure to spit on a baby. Make him as
What's
evil
this
as possible.
Baby doing here? Get this baby out of here.
The little baby in handcuffs.
Oh, no.
Baby manacles.
No.
Along with
that's
a puppy.
That's terrible.
The puppy's manacles, too.
Jake, I hate this. He spits on the baby and punches the dog in the face.
All right, remember? Do you remember our session zero, Jake, where I said no babies in handcuffs and no puppies in handcuffs?
That was my limit.
I'm totally fine with regular people in manacles.
Well, I'm not fine with that either, but I understand it was a pre-written story.
Oh my god. I had Rebecca watch Anchorman for the first time last night, and she got she was so shocked at the point when Jack Black kicked the dog off the bridge.
Something I love.
Such a glass case of emotion. Batman punted Baxter.
Scotch.
What did the Batman do? Batman punted Baxter.
I might go watch that after we record this. I'll sit down and watch that anytime. Elkwood, it is your turn.
Okay. Seeing this chaos on the ship with fire and combustible elements, he is going to take a elven step. Up here.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh no,
step
I teleported.
Extra elven.
Yeah, double flank.
Double flank.
It's a flank train.
Flankception.
You flank him, I flank you. So he is going to. He's going to have to switch his hunter's aim target to this one, because the one that he was the wounded one, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it was the one that was dead
been
now.
A minute. So, yeah, he is going to do that. Roll. Oh, God. Oh, perfect. 35 to hit.
That is a critical hit.
Hey! That's what I'm talking about.
Let me turn down the volume on this dice roller, because I didn't expect it to do that.
Just shattered my eardrums.
Oh, my God, still doing it. 44 points of damage.
Oh, 44?
Are you shitting me?
Two sevens and a three on the d8s.
Wow.
Plus a five due proficiency bonus and double that.
Damn! That is enough to kill him. Please describe how you do this.
Beautiful. Okay, so what happens is that like he sees... Grimshaw just getting chunked constantly and gets pathetically, you know, brought back. He's just kind of like being bullied back on each side. Then Elkwood just kind of does like this quick step, and then because this guy's distracted, just slices like right through his spine.
Oh,
and like, just drops him.
Grimshaw gives a nod and is like, I see you're as fierce as your bird is.
You're almost as fierce as the bird, let's be honest.
That bird is jacked.
It has a six-pack on its wings.
I shouldn't do that.
It's not normal.
But, yes. So, yeah, he just severs his spine. And that's all of his actions.
You see the dwarf keel over forward, and you can see the blood and bone and spinal fluid leak out onto the floor.
Yeah, and like his look is just of contempt for these people. He's just so pissed off at them.
Yeah,
and actually, up on the second floor, Famir is still up there. Like, is there anything going on, perception wise? Because I can do a perception.
Oh
check.
Go ahead and have Famir make a perception check, and I'll give you a little.
Yeah, because I know like before you were like, look at the captain's cabin or whatnot, and kind of got distracted. Thirty-one perception.
So the mirror doesn't see anything. You don't hear him make any calls or anything like that. But I'll say that the mirror, I don't know if you would have the sort of connection with him to like feel this, but there's an ominous quiet out in the town now.
Oh no.
Okay. Yeah, there's no such connection like that. It's just more like if he called, like, kind of like, oh, caw, 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 like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, what's going on?
No. He doesn't make a call or anything like that. He's just sort of up there, and he's just looking out.
Okay. Gotcha.
Benson, it is your turn.
Okay. Benson is going to take out his second sword. Move to here.
Ooh. Okay.
and get in flanking with this fine dwarven slaver.
That dwarf is not on the... Yeah, he's on the top deck.
Sorry about that.
Mm. He stabs him through the
top. Then I just...
get his feet.
Right up.
Wait, oh, yeah, you don't have that much movement to go on the other side.
Well, 10.
Just well, calling out 5, his 10. Yeah, that's...
It's slow.
Oh, what's your movement? What is it, 300 feet?
500 feet.
Yeah,
if I could cheat and make and know all the fucking magical items and shit, I just made a paladin. That's all I did.
Tim's paladin shoots fire out of his ass when he moves.
Yeah, it's canon now, Tim. I'm sorry. When you activate that, it's flatulence. It's.
And I will make a strike at this dwarven slaver. I pulled the weapon, moved. Here's the strike. Mm. 26. Are you shitting me?
It's still a hit.
Oh, it is?
Hey.
That was a garbage roll.
Yeah, they don't have the AC of Bull Butcher.
No.
16 points of damage.
Right.
Yeah, but when you have a plus 18 to a stat and you're seeing like 26, you're like, fuck me, alright?
Yeah. Alright. Is that the end of your turn?
That is the end of my turn.
Okay. You Scarlet Triad Thug that pushed Kezra down. He is going to jump down and try to attack Kezra.
It's a really dumb idea.
Wait, how far down is that? Is that at 10 feet?
Yeah, it's a 10 footer, so.
So he's going to take some damage, I think.
Well, he's going to make an acrobatics check. A 17, so I actually think that that barely succeeds, but. Alright, and he is then going to... You're not flanking or anything, you're already standing up, so he is just going to... Oh, I always need to remember that the civilians need to make their grapple attempts on you.
Please.
How many civilians died from that burning hands?
I think that Kezra was careful enough to avoid them somehow.
As long as they weren't standing behind those two bullies.
No, for the most part, they're standing around you guys, so, yeah. All right. First, grapple check, a fail? Or a 12, is that a critical fail?
Yes.
For who?
On Kezra. Okay, so he falls over, and a 15, another absolute fail. All right, so you are not grappled, so this is just going to be against your regular AC. So... First flail attack. 30 to hit?
Yep.
Okay. This could be 21 points of bludgeoning damage.
Would you, I don't imagine that the plus 2 from my shield aura would help you.
No, it does not. And I remembered your shield, and I was like, well, nope.
Just trying to help, good buddy.
Okay. And then second attack. 18 to hit.
That's a mess.
Okay. Alright. Dead Scarlet Triad Thug. Then it comes to Grimshaw.
Man, I'm still looking up this whole falling damage thing. Apparently the acrobatics check to reduce falling damage is a Pathfinder 1E thing.
Oh, really? Is that a previous thing?
I'm trying to see if it applies to Pathfinder 2E as well.
Well, you know what? I will give him the 5 damage or whatever it is, and
yeah. But if he takes damage, then I think he falls prone, which is why it would it definitely change things.
Gotcha.
But let's go with your ruling for now. I'll check it up later.
Gotcha.
I'm going to move into. I'm slowed 1 for this turn, so I only have 2 actions. So I'm going to move into flanking with Sir Benson.
Okay.
I will incur any reactions, and then I'm going to strike away with the Morningstar Milani.
Oh, flank train has moved.
That is what I am talking about at 35.
That will be a critical hit.
That is exactly what I thought. All right. Big money. Let's go. Decent money.
Average money.
Average money.
All right, so take taxes at first and then tell
22 points of damage after tax.
22 points of damage after tax. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. Yeah, he's hurting. He's hurting.
Good. That's my turn.
That's your turn. Kezra Davergeon.
Alrighty. Kezra will step away. He will he'll run over here.
Alright.
And shooty shoot out another electric arc. Roll some reflex saves.
Okay, so I'm going to do the guy on the left first. His reflex save is a 18.
That's just a regular fail.
Just a regular fail.
Close, though, I think.
Very close.
And then a 21 on the guy that just dropped down.
And another fail.
And another fail.
They will both take 19 damage.
Jeez.
That's a little cracked.
Why is Electric Arc, like, one of the best spells in the game?
Yeah. Sure is. Okay.
That was a good roll.
I will say. Yes, I was going to say that had to have been a good roll.
Yeah, but still, I mean, being able to hit two targets like that, just pretty solid.
Yeah. Okay. Kezra, as you finish your turn, you do look down at your feet, and it does look like that hay or straw is starting to smolder.
Hmm. Okay.
Alright. Scarlet Triad Thug's turn. So this is the one that is flanked by Benson and Grimshaw. He's going to take a 5-foot step to the south. And so he's now no longer flanked by the two of you. He's going to order the commoners, the civilians, to try to grapple you, Benson.
All right.
I fail. And a fail. Okay. Right. So this is just your regular AC. No bonuses here on the attack. 24 to hit.
Cute.
Yep. And a 31 on the second attack.
No.
Okay.
So what do you think I am, Grimshaw?
Yeah. No. I think Grimshaw and Benson's AC are basically the same.
Yeah.
All right. Elkwood.
Oh man, already back. I forgot we killed out two of them.
Yeah, you killed half of them, so. Yeah.
It's weird being a paladin in this situation because I'm just attacked him, so I get my retributive strike off. But no.
Alright, so actually he's just going to stay there. He's going to hunt prey on the dude right below.
Okay, the guy that just jumped down.
Yeah, and he is going to take a 2-action quick draw with the eclipse and just going to hurl this thing at him. Get that extra plus 2.
All right.
Just swing. Okay. Damn it. That is a 30.
That'll hit, yep.
Okay. Just 11 points of damage.
Okay.
Yep, nothing too crazy.
All right. Is that everything?
Yep.
Benson, it is your turn.
Alrighty, well, Benson will zoop de zoop de zoop.
Yep. Right back into flanking.
Yep. First strike, 22.
22, that is a miss, even with flanking.
What the garbage rolls from Benson?
Unfortunately, yeah.
20, fuck you. Okay, that's my turn.
Alright.
I think
horseshit.
I think I solved the falling thing.
Yeah,
I mean, you could have just... You'd climb down the ladder for the same amount of actions, and it's only 10 feet, so you'd make it in one action. So...
Yeah, I was going for a flavor, because a plunging attack is cool.
Yeah. I think the point is you can get down safely no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Alright, so the Scarlet Triad... So the one that just jumped down, the one in question, he is going to go... Can I move? Uh-huh. Ooh. Wait, how's that 15? That doesn't make any sense. Even then. That's still... but he can't get to... He wants to get behind Grimshaw, but he can't. He can get behind Benson, though. Okay. All right, so he's going to go up behind you, Benson.
Very well.
Commoners are going to try and grab you. Nope. And fail and fail.
After this fight, I can't wait to hear what their bonus to grapple is, because it must be almost fucking impossible for them to grapple.
Their athletics is a plus +5.
It's impossible for them to grapple me.
Yeah, the only time I think they might be able to do it is if they get natural 20 or are going against a wizard.
Yeah. Right. Just
yeah. Or a red drake. Flame drake.
Or a red drake.
Or a red drake, that's right.
For some reason, that worked. Red drake. All right. Two flail attacks on you, Benson, against your flat-footed AC. That is going to be a 27.
Nope.
So miss. And an 18. Now, total whiffs on those two things. Okay. Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Okay, so Grimshaw is going to call out desperately to Milani. It's going to be like, I could really use some help. Please. And he's going to attempt a religion check for sacred defense.
Okay.
All right. This is by no means a give me by any. It's DC 30.
Question.
Yes.
Question. Did you critically fail this when you tried it earlier in the day? Or was it a regular fail?
I thought I just regular failed.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was critical failure, you would have definitely remembered. So,
listeners, write in when as I've definitely forgotten.
Get in the comments. It's been a minute.
Well, I critically failed now. So,
oh no!
If I critically failed before, it is of no consequence.
Sorry,
Milani does not think you are doing a good enough job at murdering these slavers.
Clearly,
you gotta murder them harder.
Murder them harder. Pretty judgy.
And I feel like, as I just like wait there expectantly for like some sort of like power to flow through me, nothing happens. I'm like, all right, talk to you tomorrow. I'm just gonna bash away.
All right.
Hey, I'm glad I got that 2 out of the way because I got a 37 to hit.
That is a critical hit.
There you go.
It's all worth it in the end. And oh baby, lucky sevens. So that's 40 points of damage.
Very nice.
Please describe your kill.
Oh man, so after not getting the sacred defense of Alani, the Grimshaw's got a little bit of a temper. He's a little brash, so he kind of directs his like, because he failed, he's directing his anger towards this being, who is worthy of such anger. And he bashes, but you could see that he just, like, keeps kind of bashing and bashing and bashing. And in his last action, he is going to move with a heated step, next to, Benson. Like, all right, let's take him out.
Benson's like, dude, you kind of take my thing, paladin with an anger problem here.
Wait, you too, huh?
I guess it's universal.
You do the predator handshake.
Yeah.
That's how all champions shake hands.
Well, I haven't slowed this round, right? I had just gotten over my slow in the last round. Pretty sure. Okay.
If not, the last thing you did was move anyway, so.
Yeah.
So just move yourself back if necessary.
You just didn't do that handshake.
You just didn't do the handshake. Kezra, it's
no,
your turn.
You have to do the handshake.
Are the embers at my feet small enough to stamp out with one action?
I would say yeah. You caught it in time. That's fine.
How kind of you.
What have you been?
What?
Grimshaw calls out and is like, "What have you bequeathed? Some sort of wand of water or something?"
Not worth the action.
Damn stick.
I will. Thanks to the GM's generosity, I will stamp out the flames that I'm standing on.
Mm-hmm. Stop.
And launch a produce... well, you guys are in the way now. It's kind of annoying.
Launch more fire.
More. Thank goodness I put that fire out. I need to put more fire. You don't want fire to contaminate fire.
Well, if he just hits him...
yeah, I'll just hit him with an electric arc. Go ahead and roll another reflex.
A reflex?
Whoa.
Kelly, I don't like rolling those.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
14?
Oh, critical fail.
There we go.
Damn.
I figured.
As you take 32 damage.
God, their reflex save is garbage.
Awful. Yeah, it's shit.
Yeah, once I realized that the reflex was really bad, I was like, I'm just gonna keep electric arcing them.
Yeah,
you just keep it on the tip of your finger and just like beep 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 every time.
Lightning bolt.
Right, Elkwood, it is your turn.
Okay, he is just going to stay there and do a two action again, a throw with the eclipse. So,
all right, I will say he's got some cover from Grimshaw.
Still a 34.
Still a 34. That is still a hit.
Dang.
Damage. 15 points of damage.
He is scared.
Okay.
He is officially scared now.
Okay, and that's good, because I have one more action left, and so he is going to throw it again, because why not?
All right.
That's a miss. That's an 18.
18, yeah, that's a miss. Benson, it's your turn.
All right. I can't really get into a comfortable flanking position here.
Benson, yeah, because he's right next to the beam that's mm-hmm. You know, holding up this entire thing.
Well, if
so.
I did that.
Oh, 5, 10, 15. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so you sort of danced around the pole in the center of the room.
But it's okay, because I can't seem to roll above a 10 tonight.
Oh. Okay.
It's okay, because this is going to be the natural 20 right here. Fuck you.
Just 21. Rough night for the paladins.
Again, plus 18!
Even with flanking, definite no.
31. There you go.
31. That will hit.
Fucking finally. 23 points of damage.
Oh, damn. That's solid.
Nice.
Yeah, that was out of chonkers.
Whew. All right. It comes
to how terrifying must it be to be sandwiched in between two fully plate-wearing fucking paladins? Just absolute mm-hmm. units, but you're just right between them.
Just swinging ham hocks every single time, mm-hmm. too. All right, it does come to the Scarlet Triad Thug's turn. He is going to try to get the fuck out. He's going to take a... He's going to go 5, 10, 15, 20. And then he's going to make it to the top deck. And that is all that he will be able to do right now.
That makes sense.
So you guys will have vision of this, but I'm going to move him over to the top deck, so that way you guys can see where he is. I guess you guys wouldn't be able to see it, but
Vamir does.
Vamir does, however.
Vamir sees.
Vamir's there.
Right.
Like Vermeer's going to finish this guy off. Let's be honest.
I mean. He might, actually. Looking at his HP, he might.
Steve kill for the wind.
You thought you were safe. You didn't expect the bird. Grimshaw, your turn.
All right, Grimshaw calls out to the people down here.
Your captors are dead. On to me. Let's leave this place.
And, I feel like the last battle, it took a while. I'm trying to figure out if I still have flames shooting out of my butt.
Yes.
Because I had the bonus to speed for a minute, so that is 10 rounds.
All right.
Started it as combat.
I feel like this combat alone was like 6 rounds.
Yeah, this combat's very
we're
long.
We're on round 5 of this one.
Okay. So I think it's pretty safe to say that I don't have it anymore.
Yes, I would.
So
I
think probably this, it probably happened last round is when I lost it. So you guys see that the fluttering of his fiery, billowy cape settles down into just the crimson, the crimson display that just kind of like the shimmer. And yes, the flatulence stops. So he stops hotboxing this lower deck.
No wonder the flames took so well.
Alright, so I am going to climb up, so 5, 10, and then with one action, I'm able to climb all the way up. Uh-huh. So I'll be right next to him.
Alright, so you will be right, I'll move you over so you can see where you get up. All right, so he is directly at the top of this thing. So.
All right,
shove him back down.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
You have a shove action. So.
I do have a shove action. That would be sick. Just like get it back in there.
Get back in the hole.
Get back in the cargo hole.
Got you for 3 minutes.
I think I am going to do that. I'm going to use the Morningstar Milani to shove him back in there because that is too fun.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you think you're going? We're not done with you yet.
He's like,
Oh, come on. When I want to do something cool, I roll poopy stink. 25 against
his fortitude. Your way with words always amazes me, Tim.
Unfortunately, just a miss on the fortitude.
Okay, last
just
action.
A miss against his fortitude DC, yeah.
I hate that. I literally hate that. Last action, I'm just gonna swing, baby, swing.
All right.
I cannot believe that.
Kezer, it is
turn. No. I had one action left because
I moved,
shoved, and then I attacked.
Oh, okay.
And I got a nat 20.
There we go.
Nat freaking 20. Kel, let me hear the crit card.
Oh, wee-oo. Yeah,
please be a shove.
Please be a shove.
You do no damage, and you trip him.
Huh. All right, Tim, as always, you have to pick bludgeoning or piercing.
I'm going to do piercing. I feel like piercing today. I know it probably rules out the shove, but...
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. This is weird. Pinned arm. As the bow criticalization effect... And the target can't use one of its arms until freed. So you basically stab your Morningstar through his arm and pierce it to his body.
Okay, so here's what was happening. He was running and his arm is clenched up because he's like running like this. And you get the Morningstar in the elbow.
Now, Tim.
And so he just sticks there. And he's just like, he like sees the spikes like through his arms and like, you know, into his bones. And he's like,
In order to maintain the bow criticalization effect, you have to drop the weapon. So you can't just take double damage if you want, or you can leave it in there, and then he can't move.
I think that's literally what I was picturing. I was picturing like I kind of like stab him down into the deck, and I leave my Morningstar there, and as I release my hand from the weapon, which I do. 28 points of damage. His hand starts to glow with necrotic energy, ready for the next turn.
I don't think you need to worry about that because he is dead.
Yeah.
You scared him so bad as you brought him down into the deck of the ship and pinned him there. He looked up at you and he just saw this righteous anger that he has never seen before. Mm. It was just like, oh, and died of fear.
Nice. Heck yeah.
That is the end of combat here on the Genie Smile.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Do we kind of just run straight towards the boss fight?
No, not really.
Okay.
Feels like it. I'm like, Kezra's pooped.
I know.
So,
yeah.
Well, the nice thing is now is we have a boat.
A boat that was no for slavery.
Yeah, Kezra's greed kicked in.
I mean, he can repurpose a boat.
And in this one action when he didn't care if the boat burned down, in his next action he was like, well, it is a nice boat.
I mean, you can repurpose this boat into something.
Exactly.
I
mean,
there is a method on how to like change the name of a boat and all that stuff. So
wait, there's an actual game system for changing the name of a boat?
Mm-hmm. You repaint it.
Our group is big on asset acquisition, so you know.
Yeah.
All right, we got a castle in book one. So book three, obviously, we get a boat.
You can get a boat.
We also got a mine.
So let's go ahead.
In the Mwangi, a gold mine.
We never found the deed.
I thought we found the deed.
Oh. There was no deed to that.
The deed is called "It's Mine Now."
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, I'm so great.
Literally, you know, and Hazel's at home reading the deed to it.
She's secretly been getting income from the mine this entire time.
So she purchased those magic items. Anyway, let's get to the hold. So the cargo hold. Each of the support beams in this cramped hold bear heavy bolts affixed to manacles. A few low benches sit above the bilge water and accumulated filth. Two large wooden grates in the ceiling provide the room's only illumination. This is where you guys jump down into. Currently, a total of 38 slaves, would have been slaves,
damn,
are in this cargo hold.
Damn.
That's a lot.
They are chained in manacles. They had released some of them in order to attack you guys eight. So there's eight that are not, but the other 30 are still in manacles.
Mm-hmm. Well, this morning star is made for more than just smashing. It's made for freeing.
Can you imagine the cinematography of the shot as, like, Benson, Elkwood, they'll fall down. Only light is these two up ahead, and there's people everywhere, but it's so dark you can't see, and then all of a sudden people start getting shoved out. And you can kind of see the dwarves in between as they fight through into the darkness. It would be such a good shot. I'm saying.
Mm. Yeah. Very cinematic.
Plus, like, the lightning illuminating the lower deck every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the while the boat's rocking a little bit, so the
there's a storm overhead, too. Don't forget that. There's a vicious storm overhead. You said you were going to smash the locks there, Grimshaw?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, on the top deck, you see through the ash of where Bold Butcher's corpse was, a key.
Ah, cool. Well, I would take the key then.
Yeah. So, the key you find out, the ghost of the manacles below. Nice. So, you don't have to smash anything, luckily.
Well, what if I want to?
I mean, you can if you want. I mean,
now, does performing this action by chance restore a focus point for me?
This is an absolute. This is the point of your deity. So yes, I would say restores a focus point.
Heck yeah. That's a little known fact about champions is they can get free focus point restoration for doing things for their deity, which is awesome.
Yeah, I had no idea that was a thing.
Yep.
I did not know that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came across
that. I think I did that for fun and not realizing that was that, because I remember giving you, like, a free zeal or something like that at one point. So
I'm going to use that to lay on hands, because Grimshaw is, he looks rough, like the roughest you've ever seen him.
Maybe you need another dose of that.
What was your HP at by the end of that?
I was at 24 out of 116.
Oh,
I was one hit from falling.
That's the one hit from these guys. Jeez.
Yeah.
Kezra goes back to the top deck while they're freeing people. He doesn't care about this.
Oh.
At least he's honest.
Well, I mean, he's honest. But Elk is actually looking at this room in the very back.
All right, so let's go where Kezra's going first. So, Kezra, what do you do when you get up top?
He's gonna shift around in Bull Butcher's ashes for his crap, and he also wants to get into his quarters.
Okay. In Bull Butcher's corpse, you find an imprint of a key that Grimshaw had grabbed.
An imprint?
Yeah, just like in the ash. There's like the shape of a key in the ash.
Damn.
it's like, oh, a key's gone missing. Where did it go? But no, he did not have anything otherwise. The so you want to go into the captain's cabin?
Yep.
The large cabin is as wide as the ship. A single bed occupies a wide nook on the starboard wall, next to a chest of drawers built into the ship's hull. A heavy table with a few chairs around it bears several large sheets of parchment.
Hmm.
What would you like to do?
I guess I will look at the parchment.
Okay. So, as you go over, you see that it's actually like detailed diagrams of the genie's smile, sort of like a blueprint for a ship. But it looks like whoever this is, has been sort of working on plans to like change the layout, and he's sort of been fixing this corner and that corner, and it seems to be like wanting to move things around inside of it. Apparently, the purpose of this is to retrofit the ship's hold to fit even more slaves.
Jackass.
If you knock out this wall, it gives you more room.
So, yeah.
If you take out all the supporting beams, you get at least four more prisoners.
So, the plans indicate that whoever this is intends to build several narrow racks into the underside of the deck, making the cramped room even more cramped to jam in additional human cargo.
All right, he takes that piece of parchment and he just lights the corner on fire and then tosses it on the ground.
Lighting the ship on fire. Everyone dies.
Because it runs out. I'm sorry, guys.
Pretty sure this boat can handle burning paper. any other parchment on this?
So
on
there here? Is. Do what?
Any other information in the parchment?
Nope. It just looks like it. You can tell that there's a few different versions. So it almost looks like he was taking a long time doing this as like a real solid endeavor. But there are as you go throughout the cabin. Whoever this belongs to appreciates luxuries, and you can tell because there is a large selection of fine cutlery, decorations, and miscellaneous valuables on display throughout the cabin. Go ahead and make me a crafting check to appraise.
Oh, right person went for that.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah, for real. Okay. Can do that. I'm pretty good at that. Rolled like piss. 19.
Still, luckily, like I said, it's cutlery and decorations and miscellaneous valuables. You look at it all and you're like, this is about 540 gold pieces worth.
Oh my god.
Some stuff. Stacks.
That's some silverware.
You also find on the, at the foot of this person's bed, which seems to be a bright green cape.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Do I detect magic on it?
It has gold trim. I'll tell you that it glows with a magic aura.
I think I know what this is.
Oh, dear.
I think I know what it is.
All right.
Oh, Tim read the adventure, so he knows.
Yeah, remember?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Just my memory's getting jogged.
All right, well, I guess I'll spend the next 10 minutes identifying this magic.
Okay.
All right, if it's going to be another 10 minutes, I'm going to restore another focus point and use Lay on Hands again.
Okay, you do that. Let's go to Elkwood. Okay. You are in the cargo hold, and you went to the back. So there's a door all the way in the back of the hold.
Yeah. Is it locked?
Nope, it is not locked.
Okay. Hey, he's just don't do a perception against it first, just to make sure there's nothing like hiding in there.
Yeah, you sort of put your ear up. You don't hear anything, and one of the civilians is now like, oh, I'm pretty sure this is storage. Nobody went in there.
Hmm. Looks at the civilian. Why the hell are you still here? But
I was getting comfortable.
I'm still manacled. They haven't let me out yet.
Oh, that's right. There's,
there's 30 of us
doing this.
Jensen's unlocking people. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But there's only one key.
There's only one key.
He's just cutting their arms off to get them out faster.
You're free.
Yeah, but he opens up the door.
All right. This cramped storeroom is crowded with barrels and crates. The faint smell of unwashed bodies lingers in the air. So you can see that these ship's supplies are kept in here. They're easily out of reach of anyone that was manacled inside.
Okay.
As you kind of look around, go ahead and make me a perception check.
All right.
Turns out the whole ship was a mimic.
Right?
Oh my god. A literally flying Dutchman. A 32.
32. That is well enough to know. You can see what looks to be like some stains of people that may have been locked up in here. You believe that the smell is sort of coming from just the leftover sweat, and maybe excrement from people.
Right.
But they don't bother to clean it up despite the fact that their food is in here. However, what you do find, during the raid here, or somewhere else most likely, it seems to, be a place where they would just offload everything. Hmm. And as you turn this area over, you find a container. As you open up the container, you find 4 chunks of mithril and 5 chunks of silver ingots.
That's some money right there.
Bro. No, money, you use that to craft. Can you imagine?
Yeah, crafting shit.
Oh my gosh. Like, have someone make, like, a mithril, like, saber or
mithril
something.
Mithril elven curve blade? Yeah.
Mithril bastard
sword,
maybe?
Oh my
what
god.
What the heck? That's so freaking cool.
All right.
It's worth more than the Shire and everything in it.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
John, thank you. I appreciate
you. Yeah. I was like,
Okay. That's all that you find down there. You can go back and start helping everyone else.
Was it like food and all that too? Or?
There is some food down there. It's mostly just, grains and stuff like that. It looks like they were low on food, so it looks like they came here to not only get slaves, but also get food, so.
Right.
But, let's go back up to Ukel. What'd you roll on that there, Arcana check?
29.
29. Have you ever heard of the Cape of the Mountebank?
The Cape of the who?
No way.
A what?
I know exactly what this is.
What is this?
Cape of the Mountebank.
Benson burns his cape.
No, this is probably one of the best cloaks in the game.
Kelly, item level 10.
Ooh.
Ooh.
This is a green cloak with gold trim. So the in the book it says red. Is often interlaced with glittery threads and serves as a distraction. While wearing the cape, you gain a +2 item bonus to deception checks. So, pretty cool. Also, once per day, 2 action interact. In fact, you can cast Dimension Door.
There it is.
Pocket
Dimension Door.
Dimension
Door. Only once per day, but still. The space you leave and the one you appear in are filled with a puff of smoke that make anyone within concealed until they leave the smoke or end on your or the end of your next turn, at which point the smoke dissipates. Strong winds immediately disperse the smoke, if that were a thing.
It is genuinely one of the best magical items in the game.
Yes. That's why that name is so cool to John, because...
Wow.
Cape of the Mountebank.
I think we're going to have to do a roll-off for this.
It's like, my cape is pretty good, because that movement speed kind of acts as my dimension door, you know what I mean? I know it's not the same range at all, but I feel like I do have my mobility.
Kel, go ahead. Hold on, Kel. While you are thinking about that, go ahead and make me a perception check, because you're looking it over, too.
It's embroidered with the craftsman's name.
25.
Critical success to see that there is stitching with a name in it.
Oh, huh. Wow. I was just kind of joking.
There's a name in it. The name is Sedrani Varsnastil. If you would like to make a society check, you might be able to know who that is.
I am not trained in society, but I'll try. natural one for a one.
Oof. Who does he think it is?
Wow, is that the name of a... Is that a name? The name of a Vudrani demon?
Yeah, I'm just like, weird. I see that name. Like, who the fuck's that guy? Who cares?
Who was that?
I'm trained in the society.
Dang.
So am I.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else in this room?
Nope. Besides the treasure and the cape. No, that is all you see.
All right. Yeah, Kezra just heads back out, shouts down to the lower decks.
You all done down there yet? Let's get off this stinking ship.
It's a lot of people, and there's only one key.
I thought I heard some hands getting cut off.
Yeah,
this Kyle keeps dropping the key in between the boards.
No, wait,
hey, it's raining. It's very slippery.
Can I do like thievery checks just to
speed things along?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, go ahead and make me thievery.
While you're all down there, does this name sound familiar to you?
What was it again?
It was Sidrani Varshnar Still.
Okay, let me check.
That's a 29 for thievery, by the way. So
that is a success. So I'll let the carry over. So you do it in twice.
I got a nat 20 on my society check.
Damn.
Oh, I probably met them. This makes sense, Tim.
I got a 27. Just to
it,
check.
It does.
22.
This makes exceptional sense for Grimshaw, as you'll recognize the name Varshnarstil as one of the noble families of Kintargo.
Oh,
come on!
And you know that this woman. Who the name belongs to a woman who owns the business of the Sunset Imports.
Oh, dang. The place that was connected with the criminal activity.
Yes, the place where Hubert Thropp was going to meet.
Yeah, I do know that name. One of the noble families of Kintargo. Now that I think about it, I think they were the owner of Sunset Imports. You know, where the shady dealings were going on. So yeah, keep that cloak. They're not gonna miss it.
Do I know them to be a shady person, or?
With a critical success, you just know that is the name attached to that business.
Huh.
With all of the underworld activity and the crime families and stuff like that, and the sort of shady dealings in the area, some stuff might have happened there, some stuff might have not. Mm. But as far as you know, they're a noble family, so they don't carry that kind of reputation.
Yeah, what's strange to me is that the cloak is here, so it was like forcibly taken.
This seems like stolen property.
Yeah, yeah.
It just seems like, damn, this is good stolen property. This stays in the captain's quarters.
Or this boat belongs to her and not Bull Butcher.
Also possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just happen to have...
I mean, do I know... Oh, Sunset Imports, so they do boats, right? Imports, ports.
The room was he described as finery and someone who likes luxury, and... You know, I don't necessarily associate that with a demon. Family. Like, maybe Bull Butcher was using this broom for the time being. But that doesn't necessarily mean this was his ship.
Whoa.
He might just be benefiting.
Right.
Just for the hell of it, could I just roll Underworld?
Yeah, go ahead.
28.
28, Yeah, you've heard the name. You might have heard people stealing from them before, but you don't think that you've ever heard
them doing
them like being smugglers or something like that. That doesn't come across.
Does Kezra also explain what this cloak does?
Yes, this cloak is something a little special. It's something called the Cape of the Motbank, and. It allows you to teleport. But that's about the long and short of it.
Well, I think we can all agree that one of my biggest problems is not being able to be in the right place at the right time.
I would agree.
But given that we've come across this in unscrupulous means, does that bother you at all?
No.
Champion of Iomidae.
We found this on a slaver ship. This does not concern me in any way. This ship was made. It could have been, and if we find the right people, then we could talk. But this could be a great boon to us in the short.
They're literally in Kataga, just like, you know, a couple miles that way.
Then maybe I can hold it for a couple miles that way.
What are you gonna do with that other cloak you got on?
I think I can do a bit of a trick with the layering.
I don't think mechanically it works that way.
He just ties it around his waist. What?
He wears it as a diaper.
the diaper of the Montbank.
The diaper of the Montbank.
So Benson is going to wear the family cloak over the cape, and I have a cool little thing that could happen whenever he uses it.
I'll say that Kezra doesn't need it because he already has a wand of Dimension Door.
You have a wand of Dimension Door?
Yeah, I used it earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he used it on the cliff.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And Elf doesn't have an interest for the cape, honestly.
Hmm.
So,
like, one thing that keeps Benson, like, under S tier is movement.
Yeah.
So can Benson hold on to this for a bit?
Yeah, dude.
Well, I suppose I already have my cloak.
How do you look in green?
This cloak is very...
Damn fine.
What color is... Yeah, what color is Benson's eyes? I don't know if I ever
Dark
asked.
Green.
Oh, well, shoot. Well,
Benson and Lionel both have deep green eyes.
Yeah. It is a green... it's a bright green cape, but still.
Yeah.
Deep green eyes. You
it lightens your eyes. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, he tosses
like
it down.
Emeralds.
Benson will grab it and put it in his bag, and we're going to figure out how that mechanically will work later, after I get to talk to Jake.
So, you guys finish rescuing all of the all of the people in manacles, and they thank you and praise you, and praise Bilani, praise everybody, praise all of you. And they sort of stay down here in the cargo hold because they're just like, you know, we don't know if the town's safe and stuff like that. One of the men, one of the civilians actually approaches you, and he walks up to you, and he's in a human male, looks to be about 70 years old.
You said 70?
He's 70 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll take anybody. I don't care.
No.
He's played by Sylvester Stallone, the old badass guy. Comes up and he goes, "Name's Rollis Nenderlin. It's good to meet you. You guys put up a good fight. Listen, I put my life of fighting for Cheliax behind me many years ago, but I have all my old gear in my house. If you're thinking of help."
Do you want the gear yourself?
Do what?
Go ahead, Tim.
No, what were you saying, Benson?
Did you want the gear for yourself?
No. You take it. I couldn't help you guys. You guys are strong and fit, and I'm young. I still got it in me, but I'd rather stay here and protect these people if I can.
I'm always
so,
willing to help a fellow Chell, as he puts his hand up. For like a...
Strong handshake.
So he gives Benson you. He gives Cheliax? You directs.
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
You're from Eladir.
Eladir.
Targo is technically Eladir now.
No. Sorry, hold on.
We're talking about Benson.
Benson was from the rich part of Cheliax. So.
Kezra wants to walk up onto the top deck and look into town and see if we can, if I can see or hear or kind of suss anything out.
Yeah, like within like the time that's been going on, Elf's been kind of like looking through what food is salvageable and kind of like bringing it up.
Okay, wait, hold on. Let me clarify. So Elidir is in Isgur, or Isgur, and yeah. Isgur or Isgur is the most eastern country in Old Cheliax. In Old Cheliax, okay. Yeah. So anyway. So what were the tell you what he tells you to. So he gives you directions to his shed, and it's actually on the outskirts of town.
Hmm.
He tells you that there is a... Are you ready for this?
Let's go.
An adamantine battle axe.
What?
Okay.
The fuck?
And a +1 resilient breastplate.
Wow.
He tells you that I keep him safe, secured, locked up under some old rusted tools that I don't really get to use anymore either.
Can we use those?
Yes,
easily.
Yeah, battle axe is a one-handed weapon, so yeah.
Okay.
Well, ironically enough, I already have +1 resilient full plate.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Okay.
Well, so does Benson.
Yeah, and for me, it doesn't make any sense.
No,
we could extract the runes. The runes, though.
I was gonna say extract the runes.
Well,
money
when Tim's
or whatever.
Current character dies, we can give it to the next one.
Which means you can't get new armor. and you have to make somebody who can use it.
Yeah, so Grimshaw gives him like
incredibly valuable
clasps him on the shoulder and is like, "We'll make sure they are put to good use, and we'll see battle once again." Grimshaw has actually been collecting some of the weapons from the now dead captors and is handing them out to those who look the most fit, and is like, "When we clear out the town, we'll come back for you all and give you a signal that it's safe. If we don't come back, take this ship and find a safe port."
they look at you, they're like, "What? We're just small fishermen."
You know how to travel the seas. A fisherman is not made by calm waters. You know these waters better than anyone.
And Benson just looks back and says, I don't think they know how to sail a galleon.
they look around and then they go, I guess we're sailors now. Yeah, we're sailors now.
Heck yeah.
Good job.
We're privateers.
We're pirates now.
Wait. All of a sudden, one guy goes up in the back. We're slavers now. And you're like, oh shit! No, it's not that. No.
Kill him.
Okay. So, just so you all know, that is a +1 adamantine battle axe.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it just said regular adamantine. It didn't say +1, but it, adamantine might come with a +1 on it. So.
Well, whatever. An adamantine weapon treats any object that they hit as if it had half as much hardness as usual.
Oh my
Whoa.
God!
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
Yeah,
yes. It is the disrespect your surroundings weapon.
Yeah, Benson or Grimshaw need this weapon.
Yeah, yeah, adamantine weapons have a shiny black appearance and cut through lesser items with ease. They treat any object they hit as if it had half as much hardness as usual, unless the object's hardness is greater than that of the adamantine weapon. Which
it's not.
Which the hardness on adamantine is...
It's 1,000.
Lots. Adamantine,
it's over 9,000.
Adamantine hardness, the standard grade, which I'm assuming this is it, is 28.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 14. That's an adamantine structure. Adamantine items are 14. Yeah. Shoo.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
Yeah. 56 hit
so
points.
You guys can get that when you. Yeah. So you guys can get that when you go into town. As the thunder and lightning seem to go away, but the rain is still pouring down on you guys, and everything gets really, really quiet, and you realize now what Vemir was kind of noticing, as it's just dead silent in town. You guys are sort of like listening to hear any like bit of combat or any disturbances or something like that, and it's just completely dead silent besides the rain and the water. And all of a sudden you hear, "No! No! God, please! Wow!" I'll see you guys next time.
Jeez.
Spooky. Oh, man.
Well, this fight is not ending.
Definitely not. Let's...
Hey, it's Timmy from the DPS. Are you a dice-obsessed goblin who also loves small biz? Looking to level up your dice game? Check out Greenleaf Geek. They offer an array of dice, including the artisanal handmade Hologalactic set. It's star-studded, literally. Use offer code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD at checkout to save 10% off. And while you're there, you can opt to plant a tree, and every dollar given is matched by Greenleaf Geek. Save your party from certain doom, as well as our planet. That's DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD, all caps, at checkout for 10% off. And we'll see you in the next episode.